Hello, friends and family. Welcome back to the Sober is Dope podcast. I'm your host, Pop Buchanan, and I'm extremely excited to have a very powerful, spiritual guest today, Richard Liebarger. And Richard is a good friend. I call him Rick. I met him with my younger brother, Shalom Melchizedek, shooting a documentary about a year and a half ago in Florida. It was a very transcendent spiritual experience. I had a beautiful chance to meet Rick and his father, Lee. And these guys blew my mind. They were both very spiritual, very knowledgeable, and they had a really powerful energy about them. So it's been almost a year and a half to 2 years in the making, but I'm really honored to have Rick on the podcast today to talk about, one, his spiritual journey, his journey in recovery, and how spirituality helped him to heal on his journey, and also what it was like growing up as a young man and dealing with addiction in that environment, and how his spirituality and his spiritual journey at Wisdom One help him to overcome obstacles and go on to teach others. I'm going to read Rick's bio briefly, and then we're going to bring him in. But it's a real honor today to have Rick on Sober is Dope to talk about his spirituality, his spiritual journey, and his sober journey. So here we go. Here's on a mission to integrate ancient wisdom traditions with modern techniques. Rick is a trusted and knowledgeable healer and teacher dedicated to guiding individuals towards holistic well-being. With a diverse range of certifications and over 5 years' experience, Rick is a certified teacher with the Modern Mystery School, INT, specializing in techniques from the lineage of King Solomon. His expertise also extends to the conscious connected breathing techniques through certification with Breath Masters, Inc., as well as serving as men's group facilitator and practicing as a Reiki practitioner to harness universal life force energy for healing and balance. At Wisdom One Coaching and Energy Healing, Rick's mission is to help individuals unlock their true potential and discover inner techniques and conscious connected breathing. Clients experience benefits such as enhanced self-awareness, reduced stress, improved focus, and emotional healing. Rick's approach involves reprogramming the subconscious mind, empowering individuals to break free from limiting beliefs and patterns. Embark on a transformative journey with Rick Liebarger in a serene town of Pennsylvania and allow his expertise and compassionate guiding to support you in achieving a state of vibrant well-being. Now, I could tell you all, Rick is the real deal. I had the honor of meeting Rick on a kind of retreat / documentary that we were making with my younger brother and sister, Shalom Melchizedek and Victoria Liana. And it was a magical experience, right? Meeting Rick. When I first met Rick, he had to bless the room. He had this breathing process. He went through all of it. He did all of the stuff just to prep himself to step into the environment we were in. And it taught me a lot about just being conscious of your spirituality, conscious of your space, and conscious of your environment. You know, learning a little bit about Rick's story with our little bit of time we shared together, I was extremely humbled. I had the honor of meeting his father, Lee, who is one of the most brilliant minds I have ever met. We talked about everything from Lemuria to extraterrestrials to sobriety to life to finance. Very enchanted, I should say. They have great energy, very intelligent. And I left feeling remarkably blessed after meeting them. And I'm just honored to be able to bring Rick on the podcast today to share with us his spiritual journey, but also his recovery journey. So with no further ado, thank you for joining Sober is Dope. You know, I'm all about spirituality, coming from a background of Christianity, meditation, some Zen. I studied everything I could study, from Tai Chi to the Tao Te Ching, just to be well-rounded in my spirituality. And as all of you know, on Sober is Dope, a large part of the largest aspect of my recovery was the fact that I was conscious enough to get on my knees and surrender and give my life back to God. because left to my own devices, I didn't have the self-awareness that I needed at the time to break free from my addiction. So I had to use spirituality. I had to go outside of myself and reach out to a higher power. So I love to bring experts on to Sober is Dope to give us that kind of like moving background and those tools that we need to take things to another level. So with no further ado, hang tight as I get prepared to bring Rick on the Sober is Dope podcast to talk about Wisdom One and his spiritual journey in recovery. Thank you. And friends and family of Sober is Dope, as promised, I had Rick Liebarger on the line. He's here live in the flesh as Wisdom One to give us his guidance on spirituality and his process in recovery. Rick is, like I said, he's a very magical person. He touched me deeply in my family when we met, and we shot our documentary with my younger brother, Shalom Melchizedek, and my younger sister, Victoria Liana. Rick's father, Lee, touched me deeply. These are great people, and I'm so excited. Rick, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here on the show with you. And I love what you're doing, the message that you're sharing. Honestly, I could say if you rewound my life 5 years ago and you told me sober was dope, I would have told you you were full of shit and that you had no idea what you were talking about. And honestly, I 5 years ago, I couldn't have even imagine that I could not have a drink. It's crazy to say it, and now I don't even have an urge.
Wow!
So it's been an incredible journey, but you know, my journey to sobriety has improved my relationships with my coworkers, my family, my children, my father, my mother, I mean, you name it, and everything in my life has gotten better because of walking a different path and finding a new way to live and to be and exist in the world. And I really appreciated the opportunity to be on your show, especially with the topic spirituality and how that came into play with it, because it's definitely, that was my journey. Like, I didn't go to, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. I wasn't, I didn't do a 12-step program. You know, my journey was probably a functioning alcoholic more than anything else. My weekends I drank and partied like crazy. That's when I was really doing a lot of drinking. I mean, when I got divorced, I drank a lot during the week, and then I was able to kind of slow that pace down a lot, but it never left my life. I mean, it's been in my family for three generations. So I was the third, and I always thought my brother, same kind of scenario. I always thought, all right, I'm going to be the one to break the cycle. So if I just drink, you know, part-time, and that's not really an alcoholic, but yet, when your kids tell you that they're sad to see you change and shift as a person because of drinking, and I look back on, you know, things that I thought were really funny about me being drunk, and I look at them and I'm like, man, I'm glad I see it, but I'm glad that I made the changes that I made in my life, because they've made incredible strides for me. Spirituality was the way that I did it, for sure. It started about 5 years ago. I actually stopped drinking 2.5 years ago. So my spiritual path started the journey, and I think it helped me get to where I needed to be able to let go. But it's been an incredible journey. And, you know, I'm thankful that I don't have the things that the hangovers anymore. I'm thankful that I'm not worried about what I did the night before, or if I blacked out, what happened when I blacked out, or, you know, did I offend somebody, you know, and just, there's so many angles to this, you know. And I mean, I know, you know, 'cause you've been doing this podcast for a while, and you wrote a book, and you, you're always sharing incredible wisdom and insight and encouragement. And I, you know, I would say that it is possible for anybody to that really wants to make a change in their life. They can absolutely do it.
I love that. I love that. Can we have you as one of our spiritual experts kind of like bless the podcast and kind of like guide us in a short breathing? Because I want people to kind of feel exactly what you do. And I told everyone in our intro when we first met, before you even said hi to anyone, you had to come in and kind of bless the room and put the room in a state that kind of fit. And it was so cool to see. And as one of our spiritual experts, we would love to have you come on Sober's Dope more often. Can you kind of give us a short blessing and prayer setting up the new year and stuff?
Absolutely, man. I'd be glad to do it. I just say, God, I ask you to bless the listeners here on this podcast today. May you touch their hearts in a way that inspires them to know that they can make a difference in the world and that they can change paths and they have that choice at any moment in life. The opportunities to shift and to feel love from you, Father, but feel love from friends and brothers and sisters and feel that space and that support that helps us on our journey to shift and to change. May you bless this group, this podcast, bless humanity today as we continue to work towards creating a better world and a better life for everybody. May we connect with spirit in a deep way and may it flow through us and out through us and shine our light wherever we go.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. I feel that deeply. So before we go into some of the more spiritual stuff, I just kind of want to reflect on your journey when you were in addiction. Like, what were your drug of choice? If that's only if you want to talk about that specifically, but it kind of helps with the listeners when they could kind of hear about the darkness, then how that led to the light and a shift, as you mentioned. Can you give us a background on your story and recovery and how you actually got sober and what was the nature of your addiction?
Sure, absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, my father was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic. My grandfather, his alcoholism, basically he died early in life because of drinking too much. And then my father was an alcoholic as well. He lost his job, went to jail, has gone through AA and has been able to recover, is now sober. My father, I was actually estranged with for over, 20 years of my life. And it's really been within the last 15 that we've actually been communicating and talking and things are improving there. And he's actually sober now too. And he did it through spirituality and meditation. And I'm just sharing that because it's ironic that we're talking about spirituality and how that can help us in so many ways. So my journey of, addiction was alcohol for sure. I love to drink beer, IPAs, the higher the percentage of alcohol, the better. And, on a Friday night, four to six of those to put away and I'm feeling good, feeling like I'm in my groove, I'm in my vibe, in my body, and I could have been further from the truth, but it was where I felt comfortable in my body. Smoking pot too, I'd layer on some pot on top of the alcohol just to kind of make the buzz a little better. And, occasionally some mushrooms, but definitely my goal was to numb myself. Friday came and, it was it. Friday night, I'm slamming beers. I'm getting high. I'm just feeling good. And in my way of feeling good, that would be Friday nights, that'd be Saturday night. So I'd be waking up hangover Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, not really feeling the best on those days, especially as they get older, but wanting to maintain that because it was part of a lifestyle. It was part of the group of people that I hung out with. That's what we did. Friday nights, you go out. Saturday nights, you go out. You're spending that time drinking and having a good time and feeling loose and free. And wine, anything I could get my hands on. Moscow mules, dark and stormies. And I I mixed a lot of different types of alcohol, and it was really the core of what my time outside of work was built around. And, you know, it was probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I got a life activation done, which is from the Modern Mystery School. And it was designed to help rebalance and restructure my DNA, rebalance my chakras, rebalance my etheric energy, my aura. Those are, I know, deep words. But as I did those things, I didn't necessarily feel anything at that time. But what took place after that totally shifted the direction of my view on spirituality and wanting to go deeper into learning about self. And I did that through breath work, through, as I mentioned, the life activation. I'm a certified coach through the Mystery School, or teacher, excuse me, through the Mystery School. So I teach healing strategies and life activations is something that I work with clients on. And these are teachings that have been handed down from King Solomon. So this goes back thousands of years. And these healing modalities were designed to help humanity then. And they kind of got lost in the shuffle. Not kind of, they totally got lost in the shuffle by mainstream. And they were reintroduced to the public back in 1998, Modern Mystery School. It's actually one of seven mystery schools in the world, but the main mystery schools, and this is the only one that's open to the public. And I started my healing process with that first thing, the life activation. And then from there, I learned full spirit activation. I've learned fire soul infusions. I've learned a lot of different healing techniques, or have had those done to me. And they've helped just clear and open up the space within inside of me to create room to have other things in there besides alcohol and negative feelings about myself. And it's changed so much for my life, and it, things that I didn't think that I was worthy of or even capable of shifted as I shifted.
What would a life activation look like for a person on a spiritual journey? I love the term. It definitely sends off an alarm and life activation. So there's a possibility that a person that's in a state of darkness and addiction, pain, grief, turmoil, to make a connection back to some source which can help them activate and find new aspects of themselves?
100%. Yeah. So there are, in the U.S., there are probably over 1,000 practitioners of this. I mean, they're in every state. I mean, Florida, I know you're down in Florida, and there's a bunch of people in Orlando and Miami. And a life activation is basically, it's a session that takes about an hour, 20 minutes or so. And you meet with a practitioner one-on-one, and they actually work within your body, your etheric energy of your body. I mean, we're all energy. We're energy. And this life activation basically helps to reprogram or reset your DNA structure back to its original blueprint. Meaning that when we're born, we come into this world in a very perfect state and very happy and loving. And you know, at different phases, we start to get dumped on. We start to get things that cause us to shut down, cause us to close our heart, cause us to feel bad about ourselves, whether it's the way that parents are parenting us or the way we're being treated by other people. And then we start to identify a sense of self that is not really us. It's the outside world working with, you know, projecting onto us. The life activation, it basically resets your chakras in your body. And the chakras, we have seven of them in our system. We have one that's our crown, it's our connection to source, to God. We have our third eye, which is our spiritual intuition. We have our throat chakra, which is our ability to speak our truth, our heart. So is that open? Our solar plexus, our sacral and then our root chakra. So these all, when they're open and flowing, you can actually measure them with machines. They're machines that can measure your chakras, that can measure your aura, and tell you, you know, if you're flowing properly or not. And in a standpoint, it sounds funny to say if you're flowing properly or not, but if you're not speaking your truth, your heart chakra, your throat chakra, excuse me, is closed. And so you may be afraid to speak your truth, how you feel. You know, are you willing to express your truth? And as you go through a life activation, it allows you to reset these things with inside to then start fresh. We also have an aura, which is around us. And our aura is the energy that emits from our heart, essentially. And when we're in a place of fear, stress, anger, the aura around our body, the energy that we project is a very narrow field. And they've measured this with machines, and they can see the aura and what that looks like on a screen. And if you're open and you're in your heart, your aura and your energy is projecting out, it can go as far as 50 feet from the body. But when you're in a place of stress and anger and frustration, your aura is very closed off, which means you're closed off. So this is a deep, these are deep concepts, but as you start to work energetically with yourself and you start to clear some of these things, it actually allows you to bring in and create new space for new things to happen in your life. So the life activation is really, is very powerful. Also doing breath work has really been a powerful thing. Conscious connected breathing, where I'm learning and teaching myself, but also teaching clients how to connect more with their body and their energy within their body. So there's so much that you can learn about yourself just by having that desire to want to change. You have to want to change, because you can't do this half-assed. You're tired of living the way that you're living. You're tired of the feelings that you feel. You can recreate it. Doesn't mean you haven't created a sentence for yourself because of the path that you're on right now. You can change it at any time in your life. I mean, I'm 54, and I literally made these changes at between 48 and 49, and they've greatly impacted, as I said earlier, everything in my life.
Right. We have a saying on Sober is Dope: it's never too late to be amazing. And we try to, in my experience, when I first decided to get on my knees. So part of my story is I got on my knees in the middle of the street after experiencing brief homelessness and just losing everything. You know, $1.5 million brownstone, girlfriend, my mom, my relationship, my mother, siblings. I was just burned every bridge and was so disconnected that one day I was fortunate to have the spiritual know-how to make that final plea to God. And I just knew either I take this step or I die. And that was the first time in my life I just totally couldn't bullshit myself anymore. And I was like, you don't have it. Right now, you're so void of, you're in pain, you're in mourning, you're in grief, you're in shock. You lost so much. This addiction has you. And I mean, I had an addiction where I would drink every day, all day, 7 days a week, 365. It was that bad. And it stemmed from grief, loss, and disappointment, depression, and just not, and just using drinking as the ultimate crutch and coping mechanism. But at the same time, it was killing me inside out. And I had to just get on my knees in the middle of the street and just say, listen, I made the purest appeal to God. I said, God, you know, I loved you my whole life. If you're out there, I'm letting you know now that I'm in trouble. And I'm sorry for everything I ever did, but I'm willing to change. And can you help me? I know my dad is not here. Can you connect myself to my father's out there, my grandparents who all have passed away? I said, could you contact the angels? I need Christ. I need everything you have for me. I do the ultimate Hail Mary. I said, I don't want to die. And Rick, I tell you, this is what started Sober is Dope. I literally heard a voice, and it was like, this was an auditory experience that kind of like was transformative, because I knew it was as if somebody just put a mic jack in a different part of my brain that I never even knew existed. Like, so I heard a voice come in from a place that was absolutely foreign to me. So it was an absolute independent voice. And I identified that as God. And it said, I hear you. We have your prayer. I need you to get up and I need you to go to the train station and go to 14th Street and go to the first hospital you could find. And I knew it was a Catholic hospital on 14th Street. And I literally was in the middle of the street crying and praying. And when I'm here, I'm like, okay, I think I'm back. I'm on. This is real. And what was real for me was I thought that the addiction took away my spiritual blessings and power. I thought I did so much terrible things that I was closed off from God. So why I say it was a Hail Mary, it was like, if I get on my knees and do this in public and give everything away. Now, there's a lot of mysteries to unravel here, because for something like this to work, your heart has to be open and pure. Your intentions have to be pure. It can't be no inch of deception. You can't deceive God. You can't deceive yourself. It was absolutely like, I am totally done, ready to change, but I need the help of my creator I just need that. And what I was waiting for was some miracle or confirmation or a sign that I still had access to God, so to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I damn sure didn't think that I would actually hear of God come into me and give me directives. And I've been following that ever since. And that opened me up with a lot of humility. And I always made that promise to God. I said, look, once I heard that voice, I said, look, I'll never drink again. Because I was that was my near-death experience, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot about surrendering, opening up, you know, when you're in that state of darkness of addiction and being willing to experience and allow, right? We know about the law of allowing, just like the law of attraction. You have to sometime be open to allow yourself to receive love, healing, and blessings. And the reason 100%. A reason why I mention all of this, and you can help me bring it home, is that sometimes spiritually people may feel like they did so many bad things and they're not worthy of this love and blessings or this healing and transformation. So they stay in a state of darkness as if they're cut off from that. And I think that's where mercy and love and forgiveness comes in. Can we talk about that?
I love that. Yeah, I love what you're saying, because I can totally relate to it. There was a part of me that did not feel worthy for a really, really long time of A, loving myself, B, receiving love from others, because of I didn't feel good about myself. It's why I was drinking, you know. When I was a kid, you know, alcoholism was, you know, it was in my family. I was also, you know, sexually abused as a kid. So, you know, when I started drinking at 14, that was like the greatest way to like bury pain, right? Because I didn't know how else to handle it and everything that was happening. So I just shut down. And so now I live, you know, 30 plus years feeling that inside. Like I can always look happy on the outside and you can fake it. But, you know, you peel back a few layers and there's this hollow inside. It's not solid inside. It's empty. And I filled it. I learned to fill it with alcohol and pot and, you know, different drugs, just because it's the only thing I knew and understood, because I didn't feel like I could make a shift. I felt like that was my path. So learning about spirituality and spirituality has different contexts too. I mean, right. You know, you have, you know, in the mystery school, I'll just share this. We talk about the mind of Buddha. We talk about the throat of Muhammad for speaking truth and the heart of Jesus.
Ooh,
and
that's nice.
So absolutely. And you start working with those three things. And now you've got some new doors to open up of actual ways that you can shift. It takes a commitment for sure to make that step. But it's like, for me, when I started this journey, I realized, you know, I was talking with Shalom one day and I was like, man, I don't feel that I love myself. I don't feel good about myself. I don't. And then it was like, well, why not? Because there's only one me. But my girlfriend will remind me, she'll say, you know, you can't give something that you don't have. So if you don't love yourself, you can't love another. as a big one. You know, you got 10 bucks, you can give 10 bucks, but if you don't have 10 bucks, you can't give 10 bucks. It's impossible. Right. It's the same with energy. You know, we can't give what we don't have. So I started this process of like looking at myself and going, you know, do I love myself? And for the longest time, I was like, I don't love myself. I'm not worthy of loving myself. I'm a piece of shit, right? And that was faulty thinking too. But that's it's like, which wolf do you feed in your life? Do you feed the wolf of negativity, or you feed a wolf of positive, you know, or whatever the emotion is? We can put as much energy into a negative feeling for us about ourselves as we can a positive feeling. The negative feelings are a way, or for me, was a way of punishing myself for the things that I had done that I wasn't proud of, or had happened to me that I didn't have control of. And alcohol is just a means of burying those things so that I didn't have to deal with them. And the sad part of it is, as you sober up, those things don't just go away because now you're sober. They're still there. But what we can do as we've sober, now we have more clear mind, is we can get to the point where we can forgive ourselves and we can love ourselves and we can imagine a life that we can create, but it comes with clarity of mind. It's not, you know, so there's certain aspects that you have to be willing to shift in your life. And obviously removing alcohol is a big one because it's easy to abuse it. You know what I mean? You have one drink, two drinks, three drinks, and you're flying high. Now you're in your fourth drink. And that, for me at that point, there was no stopping. You know what I mean? Like there was no hard line. I became, as I grew with my, you know, in life and spirituality, I started using spacers. So I would use a glass of water and I have a glass of water between beers so that I could keep drinking because I was still chasing that buzz.
Right.
And then it got to the point where it wasn't going to work anymore that way either. I just had to stop. And I chewed tobacco. You know, I would drive home from work and if I wasn't drinking, I needed that buzz, that energy rush in my system all the time. And changing my diet, eating cleaner food, drinking more water, eating healthier, doing meditation, getting outside, going for walks, connecting to nature, you know, just shifting and changing, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
And so it was like, what was I going to do in my life that like I had to change? I had to change course completely. And I'm grateful for that journey. Probably the most sobering moment for me was when the most sobering moment for me was when I'm divorced. And so my youngest daughter, who was probably 12 or 13 at the time, she came up to me crying like the morning after I had been having a bunch of drinks. And she told me how it was so sad to see how I change when I drink.
Wow.
And she cried because she said she didn't like that person who I was. And then that was very sobering. And I remember even being 12 years old and talking to my dad about that, saying, hey, Dad, you know, it'd be really good if you just didn't bring that bottle of vodka everywhere you went. And so I experienced what she was saying, but now I experience it as the adult, having somebody, a child, talk right to me like that. So these were incentives for me to start changing and looking at ways to make a change. So that led me into this spiritual path because of what I had experienced from starting meditation, learning about chakras, learning about energy in the body, and just learning how powerful we are. I mean, we are creators of our own lives, but we have to be clear in mind and heart and to get to really create what we want. But we can create anything.
We can create anything.
It's incredible.
It is. And I love that. So your shift came from an appeal made by your daughter. That was the thing that woke you up and made you say, okay, something has to change here. When your daughter came and told you about that, and you identifying that generational connection between your father and yourself?
Yeah, that was a big part of it, for sure. You know, being in the mystery school, I had been getting different certifications for spirituality, getting certified to be a life activation practitioner, getting, you know, learning different healing techniques. But the higher that you go within any, you know, spiritual teaching, they're going to tell you that alcohol is not going to play into you rising higher vibrationally. And I wanted to keep rising higher. So I had to also, I got to the point with my spiritual journey where I knew that I had to give up alcohol. Like they told me, for any of these classes that you want to take and further your spiritual growth, you have to give up alcohol as well. And when I did that, one of the programs that I went to, they actually did some healing work with me, spiritual detox. And after that, the cravings for alcohol were basically removed from my system. And it was incredible. I didn't expect it, but it happened.
So a concept, spiritual detox, that's a thing. That's amazing. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Until now, I have not, I didn't really hear about that. I love that, spiritual detox.
So, it's a healing and it's basically like, there's 12 healings. I'm not certified in it, so I can just speak to it at a very basic level, but it's designed to help people who want to heal and overcome addiction, work through. It works with, you know, certain regions of the brain, and there are healing techniques, where they're working with the brain and the body to help release those stuck energies around the need for alcohol, or the parts in your brain that have that strong addiction. And I don't want to make a sweeping statement, claim that it's like this cure all for everything, but it's actually a healing modality. I did it, and it helped me progress my journey, and it just continued to take me further and further down the road of sobriety. And my life has changed so much just going down this path with the school.
I love it. I love it. So it's amazing, because although you were drinking and you were wilding out on the weekends and you was pushing it, you still had this internal need to grow spiritually. So that eventually just helped you on your recovery journey. It wasn't like, okay, you were drinking and you was cut off from your spiritual aspect. It seemed like deep down you wanted to pursue spirituality on a higher level, but you just got to a point where to get to that next level, you couldn't bring the alcohol around. You had to cut off kind of the lower vibrations of your old self, kind of those root vibrations and those root things. It's like with me, it was like I had to, you know, someone might say, hey, if you really want to get lighter, you might have to let go of the meat and probably eat more plants or drink more water or let go of the alcohol. It seemed like your spiritual pursuit helped you actually get there a little bit faster. Now, if you were, it sounds like if you weren't really in that pursuit, maybe this could have been going on for years. So I think your daughter is a blessing, the mystery school, and your inner need to grow past your limitations is what was the ultimate factor.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, it was that desire to be more and to connect more with myself. I always felt like I was, you know, drunk or high, I felt like I was really connected in my body. And I felt this sense of peace, but yet somebody could trigger me so quickly to anger that, and it's like, and then I would lose and I would be in rage and anger. And I you know, it's definitely good to have a partner in your life that's there, that's your coach, or not your coach, but your cheerleader encouraging you. And my girlfriend was a really great in those aspects, to be a mirror, to see and hear things that I didn't want to hear. You know what I mean? Sometimes we need the brutal truth from somebody that says, you're drinking too much. You look like, you know, you're not, I don't like who you are when I see you drink too much, or you change. And now you start to hear that and you're like, oh, that's just silly. But then you realize that it's not, you know, not. And, and, And as much as we think we're okay, we've got it all in control, you know, we're slurring our words, or I'm slurring my words, or I'm, you know, fumbling around, don't have my balance. You know, there's so many aspects. And my goal became to become, to know thyself in a deeper way, you know, and to know thyself, it means to be able to make peace with my past, to forgive, but then also to learn to be not in fear of the future, but to live in a more present moment. You know, when we're making that connection to God, like you were talking about when you said, "Hey God, I want to change," and you heard that voice came in, you were right in the present moment. You were totally connected to spirit in that moment and to God. And that's that channel that, you know, there's a great book, Joe Dispenza. It's called Becoming Superhuman.
Superhuman, right.
Great book. And that's all about breath work, right? And it's all about the power of the mind and the power that we have inside to heal. Well, if we're drinking and smoking pot, we can't get there. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, spiritual people out there that feel like when they're stoned or they're tripping on mushrooms or, you know, peyote, whatever it is, ayahuasca, that they're really like, they're so high up there, and there's and they feel like they're connecting to spirit, and in many ways they are. But if you look at a spiritual chart and you look at the level that you actually go, if there are 10 levels of spirituality and growth that we experience, when we're smoking pot, alcohol, ayahuasca, you're at level 2.
Wow.
And you'll never get any higher than level 2. You feel that in your brain, but I'm talking about that deep connection, like to self. Like as an example, there's a guy named Ram Dass, who is a big spiritual, you know, yogi, mystic, studied with some of the great teachers in India. And he's found his spiritual journey through LSD. And the, you know, the out of body experiences that he had, but then he started to go to India and he found a teacher in India, and he showed him the drugs that he was taking, and the teacher took the whole handful of pills and swallowed them, and, you know, and said that these will not affect me because I'm at this place with inside of me that is so calm and peaceful that I don't, these will not affect me in any stretch, because that's how in tune he was with his own body and what he was doing in the sense of self. And, you know, you hear stuff like that and you're like, I want to be able to be that in tune with myself, that undisrupted inside, that I can be at a high level of peace and creativity and feel joy and happiness and blessings and love and all these incredible feelings. And the only way you get those is by, you know, deciding to make changes in your life, because they're not coming where you are now. And so it's funny, because I used to think I'd be at a bar and I'd see all these people that you know, I'd spend time with, and they're all drunk too. And you'd see them out in public, and sometimes they wouldn't even remember you. But yet the night before, you had, like, you know, great talk with them, or you felt connected to them. But that's because of alcohol talking. And you're, I don't know, man, there's so many powerful things that could come out of being sober that you could spend an entire day just expressing all the gratitude for being sober that I have in my life.
I love that.
It's not like, and it's not that it's not easy to deal with our stuff, because we have, you know, I made peace with a lot of my past, but I wasn't really able to do that until I became sober.
Absolutely.
And I look at spiritual work as, you know, we take that alcohol out of our system or the pot or whatever it is, and now we have a void, and we have to fill the void with ourselves. So spirituality to me helped energetically fill in what I was missing, and gave me a deeper sense of grounding into self. I'll just share this too, because I think this is so powerful, and this is a part of that spiritual journey, is I blamed everybody for all the things that had happened in my life. I blamed my father, my mother, you know, my abusers, And I use that as an excuse to drink, to do things that maybe I shouldn't have been doing. But I said, well, I'm entitled to do these, or I felt entitled to feel these ways, feel this way, and to use it as my crutch, because I was just blaming everybody else and not taking responsibility for myself. I was looking outward for everything. Somebody's going to come and change me or make my life better. And I don't really have to change anything, but it's very far from the truth. What I had to do is, instead of pointing fingers and blaming, I had to start looking within, and everything that I was looking for was inside of me. It's always been there, just like it's there for you. And it's a matter of, when we get sober, we can start to uncover those things and start to feel them and connect within ourselves in ways that, I mean, I never even imagined possible. Deepening sense of self is incredible. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Amazing, Rick. That's powerful. You said so much. And I think that's just that's the fundamentals of recovery, healing, and life and love. It's like, you have to, and a lot of the stuff you're talking about aligns with a lot of the 12 steps and other spiritual. I figure when it's based in truth and healing, you'll see a lot of overlap in common truths throughout the process of healing, right? So yes. Taking accountability, not pointing fingers. For me, that was serious. I was really upset. This one broke up with me. The real estate market crashed, and now I can't make money the way I used to. I lost this house, and my dad died, and this and that. After a while, you know, I'm sitting there imploding with a bottle in my hand, all about woe is me, and life moves on. Everyone was moving on. You know, people go, that a boy, hope you figure it out. And then the ultimate goal was death. And I was like, I don't want to die this young. For what? Because I'm in my grief, because I'm feeling pain, because I feel rejected, because I feel unworthy. Well, you got to pick, you know, that's when it became kind of a fight for me. You know, I had to go back to the source. I said, let's start it. Like you said in the beginning, you got to kind of restore yourself back to that baby when you was pure. And when I was a kid, I had this real clear spiritual connection with God, where I would go in a dark room and just talk to God and just say, hey, I know you're there. I was little. I know you're there. I remember you. You love me. It was this beautiful romance I had. I always tell people, when I first identified that, I was watching The Greatest Story Ever Told, and was watching when they crucified Jesus. And I didn't understand death at the time. I was too young. I didn't understand any of that. But I watched the whole movie just to see that they did this to this guy at the end. I'm like, what are they doing to him? Why? What's happening? So after all of that, I kept crying. My family was like, he's watching this movie, he's crying. And I went into the kitchen, I cut the light off, and I said, if you there, I'll protect you. I'm sorry they killed you. It makes me it tears me up, because it was this supernatural connection where I understood this person. And he was such a nice guy, and he believed in this God, and they just killed him in such a horrific way. And I just wanted to rescue him. And from that day, that connection is what I was building as a little kid. I'm talking about 5 or 6. So fast forward to 29 years old, going into 30, and I'm stuck in the wilderness by myself. I have a family. My brother's a Catholic priest, so I know Christ. I know God. I know spirituality. Shalom and I've been meditating and doing all of this stuff for years, but it wasn't enough connection for me to overcome the addiction. And I had to go to my knees and as that little kid and go back to that same appeal I made. But this time, instead of me asking for help, I mean, telling them I'll protect them as a little kid and I'll get you back, Christ, I had to go to God and say, can you help me? And I think that's why that I heard that voice, and it was so powerful, because I tell people, luckily, my family and everyone know I'm a very spiritual person. You know, my family, we're all into, you know, so there's some magic there. But it's just a beautiful process seeing someone like you go through the steps and just wanting to achieve a higher state of consciousness and to actually do the inner healing and break that generational curse of addiction that plagued your family, just like mine. When I decided to stop drinking, it was a Jen stopped, my mom stopped, a lot of my friends. Now we have parties and there's no alcohol there. Snow on, unless we go to another family, but if you come to like my mom's house or something, it's the first, we just care about food and just togetherness. And our pastime was just drinking and having a good time. You know, we came from the 70s and all of that. That's what we did. You know, you throw these big parties, you go to church, you have your drinks, you do it as a family, everyone have a good time. But the outliers are the people who have that genetic predisposition to kind of just go too far and continue to drink. I was the one who was just, after everybody wake up the next day, I'm hitting that bottle again. I'm finishing off anything that's laying around. I'm going back to the store.
Yep.
And it was just a painful experience. So thank you so much, Rick. You went into a lot. I want to talk about mental health, addiction, and spirituality real quick. So you talk about conscious breathing and connected breathing. And there's a concept that we, you know, I teach about on Sober's Dope. When we're dealing with stress, anxiety, or fear, you know, your body tends to go into this sympathetic state, and then you know you have this parasympathetic response. And what you try to I try to tell people, it's all about the nervous system, right? You're either in a state of fight, flight, panic, or freezing, or you're in a state of rest and digest and healing, right?
So
And the fastest way to get there, and this is confirmed through science, psychology, is breathing. When you breathe, you could deactivate the fear response and activate the healing response or the parasympathetic response. So I try to tell people, listen, when you're dealing with addiction and you're in a dark place and your mind is running and you're racing and you just want to end it all, sometimes you have to just sit down, in through your nose, out through your mouth, and breathe. Now, can you talk to us about the importance of breath work and the connection to breath work in your healing process?
Totally. Yeah. So I work, as a day job, I work as a financial planner. And so stress can be very high, right? Always, there's a constant movement, constantly talking on the phone, meeting with people, talking with people, making decisions. So there's always stress, and we all have it, whether you're a financial planner or you're an accountant or you're a truck driver or you're the pharmacist or the clerk. We're always going to have stress because energy from other people is always hitting us, right? And so for me, like, breath work has been a really great tool for learning to get back to being present within myself and get out of my head and get in coherence with my heart and my mind. And it's a great way to just slow the sympathetic nervous system down, as you said. Parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous systems, fight or flight. I mean, we're in that all day long. And so when you go and you just to calm your body, to calm your mind, if you take a short breath in and a long breath out, that is causing your system to slow down and your blood pressure to slow down. So I think breath is so important to just learn to connect to self. So, you know, a great tool that I like to use is a 4-7-8 technique. So I'll breathe in for a count of four and I'll fill my lungs up in that in breath as much as I can so that I feel my belly expand. So I'll breathe in. I'll hold my breath for 7 seconds and then I'll breathe out for eight. And it's a long, slow breathe out. And if you do that, you'll feel your body just start to slow down and relax and be calm. So I like to do that. I'll do that before I go to bed at night. That's working to calm the body down. I like doing breath holds too, where if I just I do Wim Hof breathing, where I'm doing fast big breath in, short breath out. Big breath in, short breath out. I'll do 30 of those at the 30th one. And then if you're listening to Wim Hof recordings on YouTube, Wim Hof breath, at the end of that 30, he'll have you do a breath hold. And what I like to do is I like to hold my breath. If I can do 2 minutes, I want to do 2 minutes. And it's a fight because when you hold your breath, you're thinking, I'm going to run out of oxygen and I'm going to die. And it doesn't feel normal. But as you start to hold your breath, And you realize that you have oxygen in your lungs and you can, there are people that hold their breath for 11 minutes. I mean, you can literally, it's a matter of changing your perspective to this. But for me, as I do that breath hold at the end, I'm now just relaxing into my body, and I'm feeling my heartbeat, and I'm feeling my, you know, I'm listening to blood pumping through my veins. I'm feeling energy flowing through my chakra system, and I'm just connecting energetically to my body. And that is a deeper sense of self. That's giving me a deeper sense of self. And that is spirituality in its own, in many ways as well. It's a great way to then just drop into a meditation as well. Like just taking 5 minutes to just be in silence and clear your head and, you know, being present with yourself and letting the outside world kind of melt away. Because that's powerful. It's a powerful experience when you realize that that's yours to own every day. And I think the other aspect of that too, that I think is super important, is creating the boundaries now. You know, the boundaries about what you're willing to have other people talk to you, or you know, knowing when to say no to just give yourself time to be. I mean, as an alcoholic, I found myself as a big people pleaser because I just wanted everybody to like me, and I wanted everybody to view me as this good person. And as you go through life, you realize that not everybody likes you, and not everybody views you as a good person, and you can't please everybody. So you have to do what you're going to do for yourself, right?
Correct.
And you know, as I go to that place where I'm deepening my sense of self, I feel more at peace. I feel more calm, and I'm not worried as much about what other people might be thinking or saying. And I'm happy to be me. And I just want to say that it's out there for everyone. If they want it, if somebody wants to change and be different, they can do it. And we can change ourselves and recreate ourselves at any time in life. So I did it at 48. You know, my father became sober at 78.
Wow. Shout out to Lee, man. Lee's our guy. We want to do another episode with his family there, man. He's a good guy. Good guy. It's so important to connect back to your breathing. If you're listening, Sober is Dope community, slow down sometimes, even in recovery. A lot of us relapse because we're still letting our thoughts run us into the ground, our fears run us. You are the governor. In the science, they talk about the mind being the governor. Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this in the book Biology of Belief. He talks about your mind is the governor, and because your cells can't perceive the environment, they rely on you to send the environmental cues of the environment, and your mind is the governor, which shapes the perception. So every trillion of cells in your body, all the bacteria, they're looking up to you as the governor. You're in some weird way, like they're God saying, well, what do we do today? Now, if you send a message that everything is grim and dark and sad and depressed, they're going to process that information. It's going to shift your genetic environment and your spiritual environment. So what you want to do is you want to try to always remember you are the gatekeeper, and your perception matters, and how you view yourself and how you love yourself. Now, we're all born intrinsically perfect, but we're also imperfect in nature. We also, you know, and religiously they say we're born in sin, we're born in this and that. We know we have our flaws. I'm not perfect. You know, I can't do everything I would like. None of us are. So we got to kind of give ourselves a break, you know, love yourself and remember that connecting back to your breathing, connecting back to your true self, surrendering a bit helps in the healing process. You said something at the beginning. I kind of want to like focus on this on our closeout. You said you no longer have an urge, right? And you started all of this with the need to discover more of yourself spiritually, with the wisdom of your daughter, right, coming to you saying, hey, I'm making this appeal, having this kind of like this contrast. You could see you have this Rick that's from Monday through Thursday that's just going to work and holding it down, and you have this guy who goes crazy on the weekends and trying to heal everything that he had that went wrong in his life in 2 or 3 days on a weekend, or just numb it, right? You was always trying to heal yourself, right? To get to a spiritual place in your recovery where you no longer have an urge is one of the highest points of consciousness we could get to in recovery, right? That I'm not fixated on drinking or doing my drug of choice. I'm absolutely healed and I don't ruminate on it. How did, you know, can you talk to us about that? Because that's hard, Rick. I'm telling you, in 5 years to get there, that's tough for many people. But that's paradise also. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, not having an urge?
Yeah, so that comes down to the healing work that I did with the mystery school, 100%.
Okay.
I wouldn't have accomplished it in any other way. And that healing journey started with doing a life activation. And, you know, if there's any listeners out there that are interested, send me a message. Wisdom1.com is my website. You can leave me a message there. Email address. I just set up a new one, so I'll get it to you. I'll send it to your listeners. But what I wanted to say is the healing journey for me started with that. It started with helping to move stuck energy through healing practices. And, you know, life activation, I did the spiritual detox. I did, a King Solomon healing, and that's going on another journey of healing. But there are some really powerful techniques of healing that I'm not going to sit here and say that they're, you know, certified as making somebody sober, but from my own personal experience, I owe it to that, my commitment to those healings, my commitment to self, to want to be better. I share what I started to do in the mornings is I have my warrior hour. And the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning now is I pray and I meditate. I do some stretching, some exercise, and I fill my thoughts for the day with positivity. And every day I start that way. And I didn't used to be that. I used to wake up and, you know, hit the snooze 5 times and then get up, get a shower and go out the door and not then feeling just as shitty that day as I did when I woke up. And so changing habits, changing routines, and creating some things that are really powerful is so good to do as well. There's a lot that we can do. You don't have to go a path to spirituality to get sober. Obviously, you have AA, but, you know, for me, the spiritual path filled in a lot of voids that I needed. I mean, I forgave people and I've apologized to people. So I haven't done the 12 steps, but I've done a lot of things through the mystery school that have helped me. And there are many paths, but the goal is to not feel that need to have alcohol. And it's, you know, that's the ultimate, and that's where I'm at. And I'm really grateful.
I love it. I promise you, if you ever read the 12 steps, I think you went through them, brother. Like, so somehow your journey mirrors that so beautifully, brother. So it's a completeness, and it's many modalities that get us there in recovery. But I love the fact that you did it the way you did. Also, like I said, for me, like, it wasn't AA. It was, I had to get on my knees, because I did AA prior, I had tried these attempts and I knew they existed, but it was something deep that I had to I just had to really go into myself and understand, like, you cannot, this way of life will drag you into death, and we are living eternal beings. So we do not even in the Bible, God doesn't even deal with death. He's like, look, that's, you know, something that's just that. We talk about life, eternal life and transcendence.
Yep.
Spirit. So I had to really connect. And I like to tell people, one of the reasons why many of us struggle with relapse in addiction is because we just focus on the alcohol or the drug of choice. And we don't do anything past that, past abstinence, to grow ourselves beyond the addiction. Right. So the point of this episode, everyone, is why I want to bring Rick on as a spiritual expert for Wisdom One, is to give you the foundational tools and the encouragement to dig deeper on your journey in recovery. So this is for someone who today may be day one, right? You're feeling good. This is for the person that's on day 90 and starting to feel kind of crappy. The person on that first year that's like, I can't have fun. I can't connect. My life is empty without my drug of choice. And you're struggling go deep within yourself, figure out what you're leaving on the table, you know, study your breath work, study meditation, prayer. In the Soap is Dope book, we talk about prayer, meditation, reprogramming our subconscious, mind, the bad program. You talk about reprogramming all the time. And one thing I want to say to everyone out there, you don't always have to look at spirituality and meditation as religion or as religious things. Because for many people, the God concept or too much religion will scare you away. You don't want to do that. When we talk about spirituality and meditation and all this stuff, yes, there's a Most High component, a source component, of course. But what we're also talking about is going into yourself and reconnecting with who you truly are and making this conscious connection back to your innocence and healing yourself inside out. Because if you only stop drinking, but you don't address the root cause of why you was drinking, you run the risk of relapsing. So what Rick studies is attacking that root cause, digging up those old dark, what we call dark passengers of our past, whether it was a toxic ex. We could go into this forever, but it could be a toxic ex that got you into your drug of choice. And you have a spiritual soul tie with them and you have unresolved bereavement issues with that breakup and loss, and then you're holding anxiety, frustration, anger, hate, and jealousy towards that. None of that has been resolved. You buried it. Then you bring on your parents and you have issues there. Then you bury it. Then you bring on financial stuff and, you know, limitations in your life. Then you bury it. Yep. Then you put on all of the stuff that you did that you're not proud of and ashamed of, shame and guilt. Yep. Then you bury it. Then what happens? Then you get the bottle and then everything went free and you have this forced sense of, oh, F it, I'm good now, I'm happy again. And then you crash and then you're even more damaged. This cycle is programmed to keep you going until you die. The cycle addiction plays on all of those things in your life that's not in order. So how do you correct that? You slow down through the breath. You reconnect back with the spirit. You kind of start dealing with the hard things. Don't sleep on therapy. We always tell people, go seek therapy. Do all of that, too. Exercise, eating clean, getting your 8 hours of sleep, drinking water, writing, having gratitude. All of these tools are here on Sober's Dope and Wisdom One to help you get back to your source. So, Rick, before we go, can you tell us about your Wisdom One coaching? And if anyone was to contact you, what can they expect from you, Rick?
Sure. So somebody contacts me and they want to, I would share my journey. You know, wisdom1.com, I talk about my journey. And on there, I show some of the healing techniques and tools that I use. And somebody wants to reach out, we'll sit down, we'll have a conversation and see what's really bugging you, see if we can pinpoint some root causes, and then we can talk about some healing techniques that we could start. And if it's not with me, because you're not local to me, I'm in Pennsylvania, but there are healers from the Mystery School all over the U.S. and I'd certainly connect you to somebody that could help you. It's a really powerful journey and it can change your life for sure. And there are many people in the school that have had addiction problems and have overcome them. And it's just a testament to the power of healing the body, the mind, and the soul, and knowing that we can do it at any time. So wisdom1.com is my website, and rick@wisdom1.com. It's WISDOMWON. One meaning what did we win? What did we win? What have you won in your life today? That's where the one comes from. And so rick@wisdom1.com or rick@wisdom1.com. That would be the email address. Happy to talk and just connect. So you have somebody to connect with and can share my journey further. And I greatly appreciate being on the podcast today. Sober is dope, man. And I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, you know, we're doing a documentary in 2024 for Sober is Dope. So we shot a documentary with you guys at Shalom for the Cosmic Sexuality. So we definitely will maybe get you on to talk about spirituality and recovery. But Rick, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for blessing us. As we say to all our experts, we will call upon you many times on Sober is Dope to come on and help us tackle difficult issues. And you are an honorary expert. expert of Soul Biz Dope. Thank you so much for coming. You touch me a lot, and I know a lot about spirituality, and I learned multiple things today that I didn't know. The biggest takeaway was the mind of Muhammad, the mind of Buddha, the voice of Muhammad with through truth and the heart of Jesus. Oh my goodness, man. You don't even know how solid that is. And that's one of the most unifying themes that I ever heard that could bring everyone together, because it connects all of the different cultures, a large amount of the cultural, spiritual ideologies, the Eastern, you know, the Christian. Yep. It's a beautiful way of kind of thinking about things. So thank you so much. You're listening to Soul Biz Dope Podcast. That's a wrap for our amazing episode with Rick of Wisdom One. We love you all. Don't forget to breathe, love, forgive, dig into your spirituality, and heal. We love you all. Happy holidays. God bless you all. And we'll catch you on the other side. Peace and love, everyone.
Peace.